You remember in the first nine chapters as we had gone through, we see that as Solomon is writing, giving words of wisdom as a father, as a dad, you know, giving wisdom and instruction to his sons. And we know that really the scriptures are written, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we receive this as the Lord speaking to us as his sons and daughters and him wanting to speak good things into our lives. And so we kind of find the couple of things in those first nine chapters that kept reoccurring is one, he gave wisdom concerning the immoral woman and the dangerous results of not heeding God's wisdom, the dangerous results of not following God's direction and cautions to us. And then the second thing that we really see in those first nine chapters there was the importance of wisdom. There was just this tremendous, you know, push towards, hey, hear wisdom. You know, it's crying out to us. And, you know, how often and how easy it is to kind of just table it. We get wisdom, you know, we ask for it, we get wisdom, God gives us instruction and direction, but a lot of times we think, well, not today, or I'm not thinking I'm seeing it that way, you see. But the Lord gives us the wisdom, but it's important when we ask for wisdom, as James has told us, that we ask, that we don't ask, you know, doubting. When the Lord gives it, we trust him with it, and we just flow. We go with what God wants to do in our lives and how he wants to do it. We receive it into our hearts, and we apply it to our lives. And that makes a big difference. A lot of times we ask for the wisdom, we get the wisdom, but then we just say, that's not the way I thought that was going to go. You know, and so we start being our own person who decides everything and not really receive it into our lives or into our hearts. And so the importance of wisdom and really applying that truth to each of our lives every day. Here in chapter 10, we kind of start this new pattern that's begun here. And it's kind of these little proverbs kind of tightly packed together, most of which are, you know, one-liner, two-liners. And a lot of it is positive, negative, or negative, positive. But it's both the positive and the negative. And then some of them are just simple statements of fact. This is how it is, this is how it's going to go down type thing. Just real straightforward. Some of it, as we go through, we're going to expound a little bit on. Some of it we're just going to read through because there's just no need for a whole lot of explanation. I think the Lord wants to just address this to us. And, you know, for those who end up listening on tapes or whatever happens as the studies go out. But, you know, for us and those who listen later, my hope is that, man, we're just in our minds, in our living room. We're just kind of kicking back and we're just soaking this up together. And we're letting the Lord just speak to our hearts as individuals and as Christians, as the body of Christ as a whole, that we just kind of receive it into our lives. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Simple, straightforward, true statement. And we all know and how true this is, because when our sons do just really great things, we just are all over them and just are right there with them and just saying, they get the big attaboys and all that. And then when they're doing something wrong, man, I don't know what your boy's doing over there, you see. And then it's mom's kid. So you read this and there's a lot of truth. It just kind of slips out a lot of times, doesn't it? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You know, she ends up getting blamed for it. Treasures, not true all the time. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So treasures of wickedness, things gained, ill-begotten gains, really are of no value, really, in life. Though so many people are seeking after that. Our society is running fast and furious. It's the engine to the corporate machine most of the time. You know, just what is the bottom line? What's the bottom line? And here's just the treasures of wickedness profit nothing. You know, I'm always amazed when you just kind of come across statistics of the $1 billion industry that pornography is. It's always staggering to me. And it's just ill-begotten gains. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So that righteousness that we receive from the Lord and it's been imputed to us from the Lord. It was just kids outside. Don't worry. just the neighbor kids, they love us. The righteousness that delivers from death. And that righteousness that, what, has been imputed to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given that us his righteousness, and it delivers us from death. We have everlasting life. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. We know as we read Matthew's account in chapter 6, 33, we see, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You read a little bit ahead of that, and you find, man, all these things, God knows our needs, and he's going to take care of us as we commit ourselves over to the Lord. The Lord's going to give us the time we need. You know, it's been interesting on Sunday morning and the last couple of Sundays as we looked at the preeminence of Christ. The Lord's role in our lives is to be preeminent. Nothing's to take the place of the Lord in our lives. And nothing's to there's so many things that vie for that attention and that priority in our lives. And we got to be really careful and guard our hearts on that. Because the Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. So it's important for us to keep our priorities right. And the Lord's going to take care of us also. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And we kind of covered, remember, when we went through, you know, we learned a little bit about in the first nine chapters, you know, we kind of came across sluggard. You know, go to the ant, you sluggard. Remember sluggard? The guy that rolled around on his hinges, you know, on his bed, hinge to hinge, you know. That we kind of learned a little bit about that and how important it is to show diligence in our lives, to be diligent in the tasks that the Lord puts in front of us, to be diligent about being occupied, not being slothful. But this is the examples here that we find. One who's slack, you know, they go into poverty, but the one who's diligent, they're gained, you know, they continue to grow and gain. You know, and that's so applicable, not just in finances, you know, really. I think it's applicable in our lives. If we're in so many areas, if we're diligent to pursue those things that God puts in front of us, the Lord will honor that. And remember, not to despise the, you know, the days of small things, but to be faithful in those things that God puts in front of us, because God will honor that as we follow him. Not to be sleeping during the harvest time, but to go out and follow through with those things that the Lord puts out there. Blessings. You remember the manna was to be gathered. Remember how the manna was to be gathered? Every morning, you'd get up and go get it. It's there. It was provided, but you had to go get it. And that's really a lot of what it is for so many areas in our lives. That's not just applicable in our work ethic, but just our life, our ethic on life, you know, just being diligent to pursue things. Blessings in verse 6 are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. I don't think that needs a whole lot of explanation. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. You know that receiving direction? You know, the wise of heart receives direction. It's one thing to, again, like we talked about, seek to gain information or understanding about something, but it's quite another to receive that into our lives and then apply it, to receive the commands. And look what happens to the one who's the prating fool. Just nothing. They're just going to fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will become known. So there's nothing going to be hidden. It's all going to be exposed. And the way to maintain being secure inside our lives is to have integrity. Maintain integrity in our lives. Integrity and character. Your life being the same, whether you're in front of people or not in front of people, but that your life's the same. That's the reveal of really the integrity of our lives. What we're really about when no one's around. And maybe just our wives and our family or our husbands and what our life's really like when we're just by ourselves. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. See, you start seeing, can you see the contrast between the positives and the negatives? You start seeing the righteous and the wicked. You start seeing the contrast between the two. that are drawn here. Hatred stirs up strife. And we know that to be so true. And we're going to hit another area where it talks about, you know, the lips and what we say and what we do. And we're going to hit that in just a minute. And so we'll go into that a little bit further when we hit it. But love covers all sins. You know, isn't that a great thing to know? You know, hatred stirs up the strife. You know, it goes after this situation. Well, did you know that? So, did you hear? Did you, you know, how much people like to do this? You know, I think it's just as, you know, unfortunately, oftentimes, you know, prevalent inside, unfortunately, and outside the body of Christ. It's a human condition, and we have to guard against it. You know, we have to guard against it on big ears and listening to too much of it, because then you all of a sudden your life becomes this cesspool and garbage dump of everybody's debris. And so, you know, they're stirring up strife and you're listening to it. If you just cut it off, then you don't have to listen to it, and it's a lot easier. You know, just no, I'm not interested, thanks anyway. Hatred stirs up strife. It just causes friction between people and is just tensive and abrasive, and you know, it's, there's nothing good that comes from it. It's strife. But love covers sin. You know, love just is forgiving. Love is understanding. Love, I'm not talking about condoning sin, but it's saying that love covers it. You know, somebody makes some mistake and they tell you, hey, you know what, forgive me, I'm sorry about that. You know, it should drop right there. Drop it quick. Hit your delete button fast. Husbands, wives, hit the button quick. Just delete it. Forget it. Let it go. Because this is where you get to apply these kind of truths and just let that go. Because the love is going to cover that. You know, there's no need to unearth it or anything. It's done. It's covered. Isn't that a great thing that love is able to do that? Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So the person who's blabbing and stuff too much, is you're going to find that they're right on the edge of destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and the destruction of the poor man is their poverty. The labor of the righteous leads to life, and the wages of the wicked to sin. He who keeps instruction in the way of life is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. So again, this the importance of applying the instruction that we receive, the direction that the Lord gives us, applying the truth of God's word to our lives and following after it. In the multitude, in verse 19 through 21, it picked up in verse 18. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. This kind of starts dealing with our words. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Think about that for a minute. Who hides hatred has lying lips. Sometimes people can say words that seem flattering, words that seem so good, but man, that's not really what they think. They're not really being honest with you. They're not really being truthful. Whoever hates hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. What do we do if we come up against a situation where we've got animosity towards someone, or hatred starts to well up? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. See, because if we start hiding it, we're being so hypocritical inside ourselves. The Lord knows anyway. It's better just to confess it, to discuss it with the Lord, come clean on it, and move forward. The Lord's not going to hold it, you know, a charge against you on it if we confess it. We just confess it, move forward, and the Lord's able to deal with us. But it's when we're trying to shroud it in darkness that the Lord's not, you know, we got to let him in and let him have his way. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. And you remember the one who, you know, is quiet in a situation, we'll hit this proverb, you know, another one along the same line, you know, is perceived that way. They're perceived to be very, very wise. You know, he who holds back his words. He who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. And, you know, as we read through James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, you kind of go through this whole thing about our words and the tongue. And, you know, oh, it's just a little member, but boy, it can light a whole forest on fire. you know, the times and the things that get said and what happens from it. It's just so sad because Satan just loves it and runs with it. And so we need to be very careful with this stuff. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. So, if we just stick with the simple idea that we got both two ears and, you know, one mouth, and we listen more than we talk, we'll probably be a lot better off. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. You know, that's a good thing to contemplate as we focus our hearts on the Lord. And you know, the righteous person is one who's focused on the Lord. And as we're focused on the Lord, God's going to bless, and the desire is going to be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. We learned about, Jesus spoke about this when the storm comes, and it's, you know, storms are guaranteed for every person. Every person is going to go through stormy times in their life. That's the guarantee, is the storms are going to happen. But the important thing is, what is your life built upon? Jesus said, you build on the sand, what's going to happen? It's going to, you know, the storm's going to come. It's not going to be a solid foundation. Everything that you're thinking about is just going to crumble and crush. Now, you build on the rock, the solid foundation, storms are still going to come. Christians and heathens alike are susceptible to the same storms. One's going to cave, and one's going to be left standing. And so that's the key. This is why I tell people, you know, when they're talking about getting married and stuff, the importance of a godly foundation within our homes, and the importance of the relationship being built on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the storms are guaranteed to come. And you better be sure that you're built on the rock, so that you're founded there, and that nothing's going to, you know, the storm's going to hit, that's okay. You're stable on good solid ground because you're relying on Jesus Christ, nothing else. Paul also talked about this, about the everlasting foundation in Corinthians, when he said, you know, I as a wise master builder, I have laid this foundation, that which was what? Jesus Christ. And so that's the foundation we want to lay in our lives. That's the foundation not only we want to lay, but that's what we want to build upon. Stone upon stone upon stone. Our thoughts, our ideas, our plans, everything needs to be built on that foundation. And out of that comes all the benefits of a life set apart to Jesus Christ. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What a great promise to have for us. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. So the bad messenger, you know, the person that, you know, you thought you could trust with handling a situation or whatever, and it just goes south. The person wasn't diligent, and boy, you know, just it's like you sit around the campfire. You know, all the gals like to say smoke follows beauty, but, you know, get it in your eyes. It's never good either way. You know, it stings your eyes, and it's just an irritation, isn't it? The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. Again, what do we keep seeing? This common thread and theme. God's going to bless those who are following after him, and those who are wicked in heart, wicked in intention, they're going to perish ultimately. They're going to be in destruction. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Verse 1 of chapter 11, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You know, to us, it's kind of, you look at that and you think, dishonest scales, I mean, you know. Well, those are the stickers that you see on the gas pump when you go. There's people that come by and they check your gas pump. See, for us, we don't, you know, we don't have the, it's just a different system. There's these guys and they could have these little weights, but they'd hollow them out up on the inside. And, you know, they'd make it so the weights weren't balanced right. And so the person that was buying something wasn't really getting quite what it looked like they were getting, you see. And, you know, we're going to sell them this much wheat, but really it's about maybe half of what he was supposed to get, you know. And, you know, they just little bit, taking a little bit off the top, and eventually they got one more bag they can sell, see? And now they've gained a whole bag out of 10 bags. You get what I'm saying? It's deceptive. It's a false way of measure. It's not dealing straightforward with somebody. Well, those little stickers, you'll see them on your gas pump. It's got this little weight scale thing. And those are the ways and means people. And they come around with their little cars and they check everything out. And they make sure a gallon's a gallon when it comes out of the pump. And they check all of it to make sure you and I aren't getting ripped off. Now, that is if you can trust these government agencies to believe that that is the case. But, and you know, if you trust their measuring stick, I don't know. But that's a whole other thing, isn't it, to think about. But dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord. You know, but a just weight is His delight. The Lord's pleased when we deal forthright, is what it's saying. The Lord's pleased when we make an arrangement and we follow through with it. The Lord is pleased with that. And as Christians, isn't that our objective, to please the Lord? That's what we want to do, is please our Master. And we want to be happy with our, you know, pleased with what we're doing. And so even in these simple ways, you know, hey, deal straight with people. You know, if you told them you'd do something like this and that, then do your best to follow that through so that you're pleasing to the Lord. When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. We'll find that as we hit this word, pride, throughout the scriptures here in Proverbs, boy, he has a lot to say about it, and he shows how destructive a force it is. And we know that that's so true. It's such a destructive force. You know, we really are our own worst enemies when it comes to so many things. You know, so many times we think that the enemy had so much to do with something when it was just our own fleshy pride that was causing us so much aggravation. You know, so much harassment and hassle. And it's so important, man, just this is why what is the provision that's made for our flesh scripturally? Zero. Crucify it. No provision. Make no provision for the flesh. You know, just crucify it. Do away with it. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way aright, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. A lot of times they get trapped in their own trap that they set. When a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Now, again, how far away is our neighbor? You know, our neighbor, just other people in general. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. You know how important it is you'll find it keeps coming up, doesn't it? Our interaction with other people, the things that we say, the way we handle it. You know, the hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. A lot of times, these accusations that we'll kind of say about somebody else, or these things we say verbally about somebody else, really find, truly, are things that we would find in our own lives a lot of times. And so it's like, golly, you know, we're standing there throwing rocks, and our glass house is going to get hit one of these days. You know, it's just unwise. It doesn't make any sense for us to do it. It's only destructive to others that are nearby. And that's not godly. There's no gain to that whatsoever. And righteousness would turn away from that, and knowledge would give us direction and give us discretion in this. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And he who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You know, I think it's interesting sometimes. I think in ministry and in true friendship and in marriage and in business, you know, it is important that a person is found faithful and trustworthy. That is important. You know, this idea of a tale bearer that reveals secrets. You know, somebody that's just talking too much about things that maybe they don't have all the information on, all the knowledge on. It's pretty destructive to people, and we need to be very careful of that. But he who is faithful, of a faithful spirit, conceals a matter. Again, just some things you just need to table them. I come across a lot of different stuff that I just table it. I understood what was said. I understood what was going on. I pray with them and I table it. It's just done. You know, I don't think much further about it. I just leave it tabled because, you know, there's so much that I don't know and that you don't know about various circumstances, the intricacies of it. And so that's why we pray and bring it to the Lord. God knows everything, and we've taken it to the safe place and leave it there. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We talked about this a little bit recently in a recent study and just kind of talked about the importance of counsel and how we give counsel and the importance that the counsel we give is from the Word of God. Because I don't really think I have a whole lot to offer people, really, outside of the Word of God. I really don't. And the longer I go along, the more I'm convinced of that truth. We really don't have a lot to offer other than the Bible itself, the Word of God. God designed us. He made us. He knows that that's the best thing. Now, this idea of giving out counsel, and where there is no counsel, the people fall. You know, a lot of times, I've seen a lot of different things happen where people get disconnected from the body, let's say, of Christ, and they start getting alone in their thinking, and eventually they've disconnected themselves, and then they become disconnected. You follow my train of thought here? Yeah, they kind of disconnect themselves because they don't like something or they're thinking something or whatever. They disconnect themselves and then become disconnected. They just ultimately just aren't connected right with the Lord and with the Word and with the body of Christ, and because they've not sought out counsel amongst others. It's important when we're seeking counsel that we don't want to just have people that tell us yes, yes, and you know we agree with everything you think. I think it's important to seek out godly counsel. And again, there, when someone seeks out, and I'm trying to share both sides of this, when someone's seeking out godly counsel, then what's your role? My role. Our role is then to give godly counsel. Well, the Bible says this, you know. Now, sometimes God will give us wisdom that's biblical wisdom pertaining to it, or maybe it's a word of comfort wherewith you've been comforted, you know, where you've traveled down this road and, hey, maybe you ought to think about this and be careful of that or whatever. That's fine. But I'm just saying that to get into something and share much outside of the Bible itself or the Word of God or something based on that, it's just a dangerous ground. But there is safety in the multitude of counsel. There is safety in that you get a few people, you talk to them about something that's going on, and you just kind of see what is happening. I talk with other pastors and stuff that have gone through different things, and I'll ask them and get feedback from my pastor or from other contemporaries that I've dealt with in situations. Other people around that I know, that I trust, that I know have the best interest of myself or the ministry, biblical, godly interest. You see what I'm saying? And it's good to get that kind of feedback. That's the kind of feedback you want, you see? And it's important for us to be those kind of people that are willing to give it. He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. In other words, you know, loaning to someone you don't know or you know, really co-signing on something for someone you really don't know at all. You see what it says here? He who is surety for a stranger will suffer. You're surely going to end up with problems from it, and you need to be careful with it. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. The merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does a deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who have a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless in their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. And this little portion of Scripture, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Think through that just real briefly, but just think through that. You know, what does it say in the Bible? Mercy what? Triumphs over judgment. You know, there's these things in there that, and Jesus spoke a lot about being merciful. And if you mete out mercy, how's it going to come back to you? Smashed down, pressed out, overflowing. And then he goes on and talks about judgment. And if we extend judgment to others, ooh, yeah, be careful, you know. Because wherewith you judge others, you're going to get that meted back to you also. And so this idea of being careful, and the merciful man does good for his own soul. Extending mercy to others. Not maybe giving them what they deserve, but giving them what they don't deserve. You know, being kind, being trying to be understanding in situations. It's so important. Being merciful. God really honors that in our lives. And you know what? Pastor Chuck has said this for years and years, and how important it is that if you're going to error on the side of mercy. Just error on that. You know, because that's going to go, that goes on God's account, and you just leave it, you know. And there's going to be mistakes made, but it's better to do that. It's going to be better for you, because the other side of it is, he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. This idea of being cruel is really dealing in a harsh way without understanding, without compassion, you know, dealing harshly with somebody, not really thinking through it and how this could affect somebody else. So that's a good word there. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Well, may that be our theme for heading into this time of year. How do you like that? I'd like to see everybody handle themselves this way. You know, this is what it looks like, ladies. If you're a lovely woman, and you lack discretion in your attire, this is what you look like. A ring of gold in a swine's snout. It just doesn't fit. You know, it just isn't right. Now, what's the balance? This isn't trying to get all weird and, you know, all, you know, legal beagle about what everybody's wearing or how they're, that's not the point. The point is just use discretion. It's biblical all the way through. Use discretion. It's a blessing. And I think it's important, you know, guys, we need to encourage I was going to say girlfriends and wives. That's only for you guys that have girlfriends. I would only be encouraging my wife. And you guys need to do the same that are married. Just encourage your wives in this area. But hopefully none of you are married, have both. So that'd be a whole nother Bible study, wouldn't it now? Whole nother topic to cover. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Isn't that an interesting deal? And this follows through in verse 26. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. And so this idea of not withholding good to those to whom it is due. You know, not withholding. If it's in your ability to do something, not withhold it. And, you know, for them, let's say it's a little bit of a lean time, and somebody says, no, we're holding back. We're not selling any of our grain. What are they waiting for? They're waiting to see if the price keeps driving up. See, that's their mentality. See, they've got to think in their culture and their time. That's their mentality. They're waiting for the price to drive up, and then they're going to sell it. But they're withholding in a situation of need. You see, in a situation that involves, you know, serious human need, the need to eat and be cared for in that way, you see. So it's pretty important when it got to this level. And it's just this idea of the one who scatters yet increases more. It's almost like this you know, hard to comprehend. You know, how can somebody in some of these situations who are so generous, and yet it doesn't seem like they really are able to be, you know, and yet they are, and yet it just keeps, in other words, they keep letting it go, and it just keeps adding up to more. They keep letting it go, and it keeps adding up to more. They keep letting it go, and it keeps adding up to more. You see, not without striving, without anything, God just seems to do it. That's a fascinating concept to me, how the Lord works in this way. But it is true, and we know it to be true. We know it to be true in our lives, and we know it to be true biblically as we read through some of the accounts in the Scriptures. You know, And Malachi is definitely a great example of that in Malachi chapter 3, I believe, where, you know, it talks about this, you know, is you know, participating with the Lord and agreeing with the Lord in our giving. And as we do that unto the Lord, then the Lord opens up the windows of heaven and showers down such a blessing that we can't contain it. Isn't that a wild concept when we see this? It doesn't make sense in our economy, but in the eternal economy. And so this is the same here. There's one who scatters yet increases more, and there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. They had, and they were trying to retain, and then it led just to poverty. But the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. In other words, we look out for each other, and God's going to look out for everybody. It's important to care for people in this way. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And if the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I love straightforward stuff like that. I really do. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. It's just to the point, you know? You can't miss that. If you're just not willing to listen when people are trying to help you out and point something in the right direction, you're just showing your own stupidity. I would just be showing my own stupidity. And so the importance of just receiving things, loving instruction, loving knowledge, being able to grow. And what does that show? That shows humility. And so as we are humble and teachable, the Lord does an awesome work in our lives. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. A man is not established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. A.W. Tozer wrote a good book on this, The Root of the Righteous. I encourage you to browse through that one and read it. Good book. A man established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous cannot be moved. And an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness to his bones. Just thinking about how far we really would want to go into that. You know, I had a friend a number of years ago, someone who was in the body that I was pastoring. And a neat guy, neat brother. And his wife just really had a real rough time, you know, just yielding to the Lord, much less yielding to, you know, just godly principles in marriage and family. And it was a troubling situation. Everybody professed to be believers. But in this situation, it was quite obvious that there was, and I don't doubt that there were other things that had gone on in her life that helped to, you know, set the stage for some of this. And I understand that part of it. But, you know, I watched the whole situation, and, you know, it, by the time they had been at the fellowship, this was already in a deteriorating pattern. Okay, this wasn't something that had been in motion for a long time. And eventually, she just was absolutely unwilling to, you know, yield to godly direction, or any, and, you know, she just stepped out of the marriage, you know, just stepped away from it. And it was like this for this brother. It was like rottenness to him in his bones. It was just a decaying, rough process, you know. This gal ultimately was kind of started to run interference and cause conflict, because he had, you know, custody of the kids and was needing to move because of a job out of the state, and she was going to, you know, try and block that just for spiteful reasons, really. And, you know, I really don't know all the, God only knows the heart, but I'm not doubting this person's had salvation. Okay, that's not my, I don't have any reason to doubt that, you know, specifically. But eventually, it got so intense what was going on that she was trying to block him moving with the kids, and this, he had remarried subsequently a really godly gal, and, you know, and, man, the Lord just took her. Like, I think she was probably, I think 39 years old, just brain aneurysm, gone. You know, it was a good lesson for me in a lot of different ways. One, there's a time to definitely yield to the things of the Lord, and that there's consequences, you know, that you know, and that it's important to not interfere with what God's wanting to do in situations. And it was just really really interesting educational thing for me. I believe this can happen for guys and gals. This just happened to be that kind of a situation, and this reminded me of that, because it was like rottenness to this guy. I mean, it was just such a struggle for him. But, you know, then on the flip side of that, you've got the positive. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. You know, for anybody who's got anything decent going on as a married couple, you know, most of the time it's because the gal's solid, you know, and walking with the Lord, and it makes a huge difference. And so, ladies, you can see, man, the crown of her husband. You know, it's right in the forefront and visible. And so I think that's neat. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. A man will be commended according to his wisdom, but he who is of a perverse heart will be despised. Better is the one who is slighted but has a servant than he who honors himself but lacks bread. That's a good thought. You know, the idea here is be careful what we think of ourselves. We can think we've got more going on than we do, and we don't even have anything to eat. So, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Those who don't treat even their animal right. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. Again, this idea in verse 10, too, of a righteous man regards the life of his animal. You know, you got to understand, this was a means of commerce for them. It was part of their culture. Their animal was, you know, something that was, you know, it was like caring for your tools, guys, or keeping your blender working and your kitchen stuff and your computer working right, you know, in your home, or what, you get what I'm saying? It was kind of, you know, regarding it and having a right view of it. You know, but somebody else, you know, the tender mercy of the wicked are even cruel. They just, you know, they don't treat things right. They just have no regard for things. The wicked, in verse 12, the wicked covet the catch of the evil men, but the root of the righteous yields fruit. The wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. Again, we see the diligence and keeping our words clear and right. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. I like that. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And we see this throughout the scriptures, too, that, you know, people start to think things. And again, this is the idea that we can talk ourselves in and out of a bunch of different things, and we start telling ourselves that something's right. And a fool, you know, is right in his own eyes. He's thinking that what he's saying and doing is right, but he's missing it. But he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. A fool's wrath is known at once. They get angry, and you know right where they stand immediately. You know right what's going on right out of the bat. They are quick to share a piece of their mind or a piece of themselves with you. And as the saying goes, they didn't really have much to spare, and they probably shouldn't do that. They've given away too much. So, you know, it's known at once. It's right away. But a prudent man covers shame. You know, hey, you know, keep it to yourself. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. There are those that, man, are cutting, huh? They're cutting. They say things. They're just dicing you up when they say stuff. And it's very cutting, and it's destructive. But what does it say here of the righteous? But the tongue of the wise promotes health. Saying something encouraging to somebody, saying something that's going to, you know, help them out, saying something. Because we can, what does the Bible say? We can speak the truth in love. So there's the temperament, right? In love, speak the truth. So we can tell the truth, but we need to temper it with love and compassion and grace and mercy. You know, we speak it, but, you know, I like to think of it this way. I really aspire for this. You know, I know we all fall short, but it's a good goal to shoot for and to really try to do more often than not. Is to say things, if you take a little bit of just a minute sometimes and think through something when something happens or something goes on, and you try and deliver something in a way that you would like it delivered to you. If you just, you know, do unto others type idea, if you just think about that just for a couple minutes, it makes a big difference in your interaction with other people. I was talking with someone earlier, and they're telling me about a friendship that they have, and they're trying to encourage their friend and point him in the right direction with the Lord. And you know, I was thinking really of how Andrew did that, you know, brings his brother along, and, you know, how this whole idea of relationships and how important it is to develop relationships. And so many people come to the Lord through relationships. You know, they have a friend, and their friend sowed a seed. And then, you know, years later, another friend comes into their life and sows another seed. And then they decide, yeah, maybe I will go with you to catch a Bible study somewhere. And then they end up giving their hearts to the Lord. And so there was these relationships that led to the ultimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the importance of developing relationships and leading people into the introduction to meet your best friend, Jesus Christ, the one who can change our lives. He who speaks truth declares righteous, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like piercings of a sword. We covered that in verse 19. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. The lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. The hand of diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Boy, what a great verse to remember. What a great verse. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. We wonder what, there's tons of depression out there, you know what I mean? There's just, our society's packed with it, depression. You know, it's a big catch bin for every bummer that ever happened. You know, it's just this catch bin for everything. How many of you have really know in your mind that you've definitely entered into, I'm talking about some level of some kind of relatively, you know, you understand what real depression could maybe be like. Most people, some people, you know, I never really got it for a big chunk of my life. I just never knew what that meant. I don't know whether I was there or not because I never really knew exactly. And this is honest. I'm just bearing my heart here. You know, I never really got it. But, you know, I have gone through times where I've you know, it's just this, it's really a process of thinking where we start getting focused on things that are less than what we learned in Philippians, you know? Whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is noble, whatever is just. Think on these things, you know, meditate on these things. Focus your thoughts on these things. You know, that is the beginning. We start to look at things through, you know, just less than the biblical process that I just gave you out of Philippians. And then it's just a gradual thing. It's not something like Wow, I just kind of feel bummed today. No, it's this process where everything starts going and you start looking at things. And man, there's like, it's really foggy all the time. It's just gray. It's just kind of gray. And, you know, it's a real fascinating thing to me because I don't, like I said, it's such a gradual thing that it happens. But anxiety. And what is it that we learned about anxiety that we found in also in Philippians, where it talked about be anxious for nothing. And we learned about that, these distracting cares. So what it is these things that shift our attention off of other things, you know, from the Lord onto these other things. And once we shift onto these other things, our focus is not on the Lord, it's on these other things. This issue. And this issue. And have you ever, this is, for me, it snowballs. I'm just sharing, this is the way this is for me. It snowballs. This issue is no big deal by itself. We can kind of, man, that's kind of manageable, you know, that issue. But then we get this issue here, this situation there, that thing going on there, this struggle with this going on over here. I can't even see them all at one time. You see, I can't even see all the things that are maybe bugging me or what. I can't see them all. And the only way I can personally deal with it is if it's just scooped up and dumped off at the cross. God's got this wonderful ability to see all things at all the time. I don't. And God can absorb all this and deal with all this. I can't. He's got inexhaustible resources and ability and thoughts of ways to handle everything. I don't. I've got this little minuscule, you know, way of dealing with each circumstance that's got super limitations. But God doesn't. And so when I bring it all and I give it to the Lord, I say, Lord, you know, And you'll find this, you know, a lot of times people ask me, well, what about this? And, you know, there's this wound up thing going on. I don't know. I'm not really sure exactly what we're going to do, and I'm not sure what the Lord's going to do. And I'm sincere could ever be. We got to pray about this. And we got to see what the Lord will have us to do. And we'll let God reveal what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And I think it's so important because this is something that is so prevalent in our society because there's so many things going on. You know, it's like for us, we've had, at certain times, we've had three different ball games we've got to be at with three sons, you know. And there's some of them are simultaneously overlapping, and anybody who has more than one kid knows what I'm talking about. It's just hard, you know, and you feel bad for the one you didn't get to, and you know, I'm talking about that's one little microscopic pocket of something in life sometimes. But then you add this project, this situation, that thing went south, this is happening over here, this person's upset with that, that's going on over there, oh man, you know, that what? Distracting care. Anxious thoughts. Eyes get off of the Lord. Depression sets in. I get bummed. I can't deal with it. I beat down because I'm just overloaded because I can't handle. And man, it is so liberating to just drop it off at the cross and say, Lord, you know what? The only person I have to please is you. And all I have to do to please you is to return the love that you've given to me. He loved me first. And just return the love. Say, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your grace upon my life. You know I'm a pea brain and I've only got so much I can deal with. And I just thank you that you can deal with it all. And that you can handle all of it, God. And I just deliver it back into your hands. And I ask that you give me guidance and direction. And man, it just seems to deal. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But a good word makes it glad. A good word. The word of the Lord. You know, a good word. Just what we just shared right now is a good word. You know, that's something that we can think about and say, man, you know what? I can do that. You know, I can follow that. I can try and think more on what is lovely, what is good, what is right. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know, the people we hang out with, it's very important that we choose wisely those people we're going to hang out with. We want to infect people with the love of God, and we want to be careful not to get infected with other things. So there's a balance, isn't there? I knew just when it was time, you know, when I'd first gotten plugged back with the Lord, and I'd be hanging around my partying buddies and stuff, and I knew just when it was time, man, it's time to scat. Time to get out of here because this is no one. Everybody's starting to get belligerent. They're not understanding you're sharing the gospel with them anymore. It's time to leave because the choice starts getting narrowed down. you know, as people are spilling their beers on you, and, you know, saying their stupid lines and stupid stuff, and you're trying to laugh with them, and it's all just dumb. It's time to leave. You know, it's time to go. Why hang out in that kind of environment? So the righteous chooses friends carefully. Sometimes our friends get changed around when we get plugged back in with the Lord and start following Jesus Christ. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but they just shot it and that was it. But the diligence is a man's precious possession. You know, that idea of pursuing even those things that God gives us. In the way of righteousness is life, and in his pathway there is no death. We want right life. You know, the Bible says, you know, to choose life. Choose life. You know, there's a lot of things out there to choose. Choose life. And by choosing Jesus Christ, we choose life. We choose to follow the Lord. May the Lord help us to apply these things as we just kind of soak in the Proverbs as we go through them together. Just soak them in. Let the Lord minister to them. It, you know what? There's some things that God might have spoken to you from different parts of it that we didn't even go into at all. But just the Lord was speaking to you, and that's the way it works. You know, you just kind of soak up the Word and let God minister to us, and we just grow together and let the Lord flourish in our lives.